God chose a creature to usher in the salvation of the world. God chose to depend upon Mary for the sake of the world's salvation, even though she is not God. So that when we are close to Mary, we're never far from Jesus, because God chooses to use us for the same in our world, in Jesus and through Mary. The relationship of grace versus sin could not be more starkly contrasted in today's reading. When we live a life of grace, we're always close to Mary and never far from Jesus. When we live a life of grace, God uses us as a means to obtain salvation for ourselves and the world, to be his life, his love, his face in a broken world today. But when we live in a life of sin, we're lost. We do not know who we are, and we do not know who God is. When Adam sinned, God asked him, "Where are you?" That wasn't a literal question. God knew exactly where Adam was physically. The problem was that Adam was lost from God when he chose to be like God without God, wanting to have all the things God promised him, but under his own circumstances and means and determination. Adam, where are you? When we're lost in sin, we are lost from God, and we've lost who we are. And in the state of sin, being lost from God, now all of a sudden we feel vulnerable, and God is a threat, even though he's done nothing wrong to us. "I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." From who? From God? Why would you hide yourself from God? First of all, there's nowhere where he is not, so that's impossible. But why is God a threat? What has he done to you, Adam? How has he harmed you? He's lost. He doesn't know who God is, and he doesn't know who he is. And then he blames the woman, and he blames God. That's the nature of the life of sin. "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit, and so I ate it." It's your fault, God, and it's her fault. I did nothing wrong. It's not my fault. I'm not to blame. When we're in sin, we're lost. We don't know who God is. We don't know who we are. And it's everyone else's fault but our own, especially the woman. And that's the nature of sin from the beginning of time with how men have treated women. "The woman whom you put here with me," right? When we don't know God and things happen bad, what do people say? "Why is God punishing me? Who are you talking about? What God are you referring to?" Because when we should have been punished for our sin, he sent his only son to suffer and die innocent in our place. God is punishing you? What God are you referring to? Because it's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You do not know God. When we're far from God and we're lost, God becomes the enemy. And we play the victim. God asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" "The serpent tricked me into it, and so I ate it." He tricked you? How did he trick you? You knew not to eat it. Don't play the victim. Just acknowledge the wrong you've done. From that moment onward, God foretells the story of salvation. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel." Enmity between you and the woman. Mary becomes the new Eve. And unlike Eve, she is faithful and obedient to the will of God. She will not bite of the forbidden fruit. She would never sin. Today's gospel is a bit confusing because it's about the miraculous conception of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what we celebrate today. We celebrate the natural conception of Mary. There's nothing miraculous about how Mary was conceived through the marital embrace of Joachim and Anne. But what was miraculous is that God, who's outside of time, took the grace and merits of Mary's son Jesus 30-some years later, passion, death, resurrection, and ascension, and applied it at the moment of her conception so that she would be free from original sin, so that Christ would assume fully his nature from hers, unstained, the unblemished lamb. Mary would give Christ all of his humanity, who has always been God, and now through Mary becomes man. True God and true man, as we will proclaim in just a few moments in the Creed. So she becomes the perfect means because of God's choice and will through which salvation would come into the world. God chooses Mary to be the means. And so the Christian sees what Christ has done and does the same. If God chooses to come to us through her, then I'm going to go to him through her as well. She is the most sure, certain, perfect, direct, fastest, easiest way to Jesus. There is no other better than she, because it's what God has chosen to bring Christ into the world. And the gospel today, though it talks of the conception of Jesus, in its beginning speaks about this reality of Mary preserved from sin. The angel calls her hail, full of grace. In other words, there's nothing in her contrary to grace, i.e. sin. The Lord is with you. How true was that then? How true it would become literally in moments as the eternal word becomes flesh in her womb and she becomes a living tabernacle of the Most High God. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God, from the moment of her conception, set her apart. You will be the means by which my eternal and divine Son will become man, to suffer and die so as to save the world. And as Jesus chose to come to us through her, so as Christians, we choose to go to God through her, imitating Christ, depending on her as he did throughout the pregnancy and beyond. So that whenever we're near Mary, we're never far from Jesus. And today we celebrate the fact that God chose to use a creature who is not God to bring salvation to the world. That is why the sons of Mary, I will put enmity between your children and her offspring, that Satan and Mary. That's why the children of Mary are called to be missionaries and disciples in the world, to bring the good news of God's love, to be witnesses of his healing, his generosity, his compassion, his forgiveness, to be instruments of his peace. We are the sons and daughters of Mary, because we have been adopted by God through baptism. God is our Father, Christ is our brother, Mary is our mother, and of them, she is not God. And this is the incredible divine plan of God, that he would use a creature as a means through which salvation would come in Jesus Christ. And if he can use Mary to bring salvation to the world in her son Jesus, her Savior and ours, then it is because he intends to use us just the same. The question is, which side will we choose? Will we try to be like God without him? Will we become naked and afraid, lost, blaming God, blaming the woman, playing the victim? Or will we embrace a life of faith and intimate relationship with God as Mary did? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Those are the words of the children of Mary, the offspring of the new Eve, Christ, the new Adam. Adam turned his back on the serpent rather than confronting it and killing it or expelling it from the garden, risking his life in doing so. He simply turned his back and he allowed the serpent to enter. He sinned first. That's why God went after Adam, not Eve. Adam, where are you? After both he and the woman sinned, he didn't go after Eve. Adam, where are you? Adam sinned first, simply by turning his back and doing nothing. Christ, the new Adam, sees the serpent of sin and death, and rather than turning his back and letting him wander and prowl throughout the world, Jesus confronts him head on. He does what Adam failed to do. He lays down his life for his bride, the church. He is the true Adam, the spouse of the church, who takes himself up upon the cross to preserve his bride pure, immaculate, holy, and undefiled. Jesus is true man, just as he is true God. And so today we celebrate the gift of his mother and ours, the woman whom he left us as his very last act of love here on earth before his death. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And with that, he breathed his last. And from then until the day of his return, every Christian takes Mary into the home of their hearts and will have no other mother but her. Because it's only through her that we can truly know Jesus and love Jesus. Because when we are close to Mary, we are never far from him. And when we live as his sons and daughters, the word of God and his will is made manifest in how we live. And when others see us, they know that the kingdom of God has come.